the perfect Father. Matthew chapter 5. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house here this morning. Father, we just thank you, Father, that as this morning as we think of our earthly fathers, and we thank you for them, but yes, most of all, we think of you, Father, just what a perfect Father that you are to each one of us.
Amen.
How you take care of us, and you meet our needs, and yes, you lead us and guide us in the right direction, Father. We just so thankful to have you as our Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we have an opportunity to spend eternity with you in heaven.
Amen.
Now, Father, this morning as we open your word, I just pray that you give the pastor the words to say that would place each one of us on higher ground spiritually, yes, here today than we're used to being on, Father, that we'd be lifted up and hearts would be encouraged to serve you in the days ahead. And we'll just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 5:48. The Bible says, be ye therefore what? Perfect. Even as who? Your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I've seen all kinds of t-shirts and caps and coffee mugs that say world's greatest dad, or world's best father, or number one dad, or number one father. So as I was meditating on what for us to think about today and Father's Day, I was thinking about different fathers in the Bible and strong points, weak points. And I thought, well, the perfect father is Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We're living in times which are rapidly growing worse. In Sunday school, I mentioned a recent Gallup poll. It shows that American adults who believe in God has dropped 6% from the 2017 survey. So this Gallup poll shows that American adults who believe in God, that amount has dropped 6%. Since 2017. And you can see it just around what is taking place. We can see it in the effect upon our government officials, upon the work ethic. You can see it. I mean, there's help wanted signs everywhere. There was a man begging for money by Isabella Bank there the other day, and I honestly don't know why at this point in time anyone would give people money who are standing beside the street begging when businesses are begging for helpers. It just boggles my mind. The deterioration in the integrity of our government officials and the work ethic of Americans in the fads that are coming along. Notice in Isaiah 33. When people do not believe in God, they lose their stability. Now, you talk about economics, you know, what the stock market is doing. You're talking about inflation. We're talking about a spiritual situation here. This is not just economics. This is a spiritual situation. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be what?
The
stability of thy times and strength of what? Salvation. The fear of the Lord is what? His treasure. It's just like we were talking about, in the last several business meetings, just missionaries with different needs, and the money's there, use it for the needs. And that's what we've been trying to do. And you can't outgive God, can you? You can't. God just wonderfully blesses. And notice, if you hold your place here with me, turn with Luke to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6:38. What's the first word? Give. Give, and it shall be given unto you a good measure. Then what? Press down. And what? Shaking together. And what does that normally do when you put a measure of something into a bag or a container? You put a good measure in there, and then you press it down and you shake it together. What does it say in a lot of boxes and packages? Something may occur. Settling may occur. They might as well put on their settling at the rate of probably 50% will occur. When you open it, you might be shocked. Hey, I thought I bought a full bag of this. Good measure, press down and shaken together. So God packs it in, but then what does it say? And what? Running over. When's the last time you opened a box of cereal, and when you opened the bag, the cereal just flew out? It was so pressurized in there, packed. No, that won't happen. But that's the way God gives back. If we give, He will give unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again. I can recall the first time we went on a missions trip. It took over half of the money that the church had to send that group to the mission field. And at the time, that may have seemed like, wow, isn't this risky, using over half of the money the church even has in the bank to do this? I was astounded. Within 3 months, that money was back and more. And it's like that when we give to our missionaries. It's like you give, the missionaries have a need, you give to the missionaries. And Luke 6:38 is true. The Lord has a heart to get His word out, and what a blessing. So back in Isaiah 33:6, wisdom and knowledge shall be the strength, shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. So that's our treasure, is fear of the Lord. You know, sometimes I've heard people refer to America as the great American experiment. The great American experiment. And they're talking about our form of government. And they're saying, wow, this was just, you know, this was a brainstorm of a certain generation. And so, but it's just been a random experiment. You know, they just decided, you know, not to go with a parliament, you know, to go with, you know, an executive and a judicial and legislative branches of government. And well, it's just been an experiment, you know, better for worse. No, it wasn't a random set of ideas. Notice with me, first of all, in Deuteronomy 4, what it was a generation that feared God. It was a generation that were being persecuted in Great Britain and Europe. You think about, you know, go back a little bit from when this country was founded, but people were being burned at the stake in Europe for wanting to translate the Word of God into the common tongue of people. It was persecution. It was in England, the state church. You know, you didn't have your freedom of religion. And so it was, this nation was born out of tribulation, not the tribulation period that Revelation talks about, but born out of tribulation as believers, suffering. And it, so that generation was a people that feared God, that had a high reverence for the Word of God, the Bible. So in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 5, it was not a random chance. The founding principles of this nation. Deuteronomy 4, 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your what? Your wisdom and your what? understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these what? Statutes, and say, surely this what? Great nation is a what? Wise and understanding people. You see, when our nation still based its laws upon the word of God, we were looked at as well as like Israel. We were looked at as a wise and understanding people. You know, Europe has been a what they would refer to as a fertile ground for liberalism, doubting. A lot of liberal religious things came out of countries like Germany, some high thinkers in Germany, and some of the other European nations. And so it was quite radical, the position our country took. You think of Catholicism, the Catholic Church controlling Europe, and then plunging it into the Dark Ages, the Inquisitions that was going on. And you think of the state church of England fighting against the Catholic Church of Europe. But so that oppression across the sea, people fled to this nation. And I realize some just came here for financial means and desires. But a lot of people fled here for religious freedom. And so our system of government was quite radical compared to back in the motherlands, back across the sea. So let's go to verse 8. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? You think about it, we still are just a baby nation compared to a lot of European countries, and especially like to Asian countries like China. Been around a long time. And, you know, they had Hammurabi and all their other codes, you know, and laws and so on. But so for the group of pioneers that came here and the laws didn't follow after European. It followed the word of God. In fact, I don't have it with me, but I think it is out maybe on the wall out there. But it's interesting that the state of Michigan, in its laws against sodomy, uses the same terminology as the Bible. They use the term sodomy. Against nature. I mean, they're using biblical terminology right in the laws of our state. So that's our states, our country was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. And so these words are true of America too, verse 8. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Do you realize there are other nations of the world that buy bonds, American bonds, because they look at America as so stable. They have looked at it. I'm not saying they're looking at it that way anymore. There's a lot of nations doubting that stability today. But do you see how our instability is because we're forsaking this? We've thrown this out of, for the most part, out of government and out of our schools. And so we are becoming unstable today. But when you think about it, that other nations would actually invest in our bonds as a stable place to keep their money and grow their money. Interesting. So this was not the great American experiment. This was not an experiment. This was following the word of God. Why are we feeling? Well, as we read on, verse 9, only take heed to who? Thyself. That's where it starts. You know, we're praying for revival, a great awakening. Revival starts, we've got to ask God to search our own hearts. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul what? Diligently. You know, it's like Matthew 7. Before we start looking at someone else, we need to ask God to search our hearts. And then it goes on, lest thou what? forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. So that whole verse so far has been, you know what? I need to ask God to search my heart. I need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. My wife and I were coming out of the store this week, and there were three guys out there just outside the door. And as the Holy Spirit said, witness to those guys. And so I just said to my wife, here's the cart. And I think she knew what I was going to do. But anyway, so she goes on, and I was witnessing to those people there. And then I came here to mow grass, and there were two big trucks in here in the parking lot that paint the lines on the roads. And so these two crews of guys were in here, and so I just parked the car and went over and gave them tracks. Their big trucks were running and making noise, but anyway, they all took tracks. There was five different ones. And so then they were still working with their trucks, and I don't know if they're mixing paint, what they were doing, but so I loaded the mower and started mowing the grass, and then the Lord spoke to me, you know, you've got those Klondike bars for the fathers tomorrow at church. And, you know, these guys are working in the hot weather, you know, and on a Saturday, I mean, they're having to work. And they were all gracious and took the tracks. And so I said, well, Lord, if I get around the building and they're still there, I'll do that. So I did, and so I stopped the mower and come in here, and then I walked back out there, and I don't know what they thought. Maybe they thought I was bringing in more tracks. I don't know. But so one guy was looking at me, and so, yeah, so I threw that Klondike bar up there, and he looks at it and says, whoa! And so I could see two other guys, so I had more, and so let's see, so he said that there's two more up here, so threw up the rest, and I just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, amen. We're not short on you fathers, you know, we still have enough for you fathers. I actually went and bought more, but we're not short on them, but it's just so good to serve the Lord. And, you know, it's kind of what we've been looking at in the songs this morning. It's so good to be saved. And then, you know, when we get saved, isn't the Lord good to us? I mean, he's so much better to us than we deserve. And those guys, they were gracious enough to take the tracks, but I'm sure they never thought they would get a Klondike bar out of it in the end. But, you know, if we'll receive the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many delightful things that we don't deserve as we're laboring in this world. And what a joy it is just to serve the Lord. So verse 9, we need to take heed personally. And then it says, the last part of verse 9, but teach them who?
Thy sons
and who?
Thy sons.
So teach them. We're to teach them to our children and our grandchildren. So that's what we need to do. So in Isaiah 33, let's go to Isaiah 33. And verse 22, Isaiah 33, verse 22. This is where our forefathers got the idea of this government. It came from this verse right here, Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is what? Our judge. The Lord is what? Our lawgiver. The Lord is what? Our king. He will save us. This verse right here is where they went. The Lord is our judge. That's the judicial branch. That's our whole court system, all the way up to the Supreme Court. Then it says the Lord is our lawgiver. Now, there's a lot of judges that don't quite understand that they're not supposed to legislate from the bench. They're not supposed to create laws. They're just supposed to judge according to the way the laws are written. But the Lord is our lawgiver. This section is our Senate in the House. Our senators, our representatives, are supposed to be the lawgivers. So they're the legislative branch. The Lord is our king. So a president, and they didn't want to call our president a king because they'd had enough of that from Europe and England. So this is the verse where they got our three branches of government. And of course, the Lord, the reason our court system is failing is because the Lord is not the head of it too often. The reason that the Senate and the House fail in their laws is because the Lord, they're not looking to the Lord for wisdom how to make laws. The Lord is our king. The reason our presidents fail is because they fail to look to the Lord. But this is the verse where they got that idea. The Lord is our judge. He's our lawgiver. He is our king. And so it wasn't the great American experiment. What they were doing was just following the Word of God, the principles in the Word of God. So it wasn't an experiment like, oh, we'll see if it'll work or not. No, you know what? When we were a God-fearing people, it worked. It worked exceedingly well. The problem is, in that verse, is we've taken the Lord out of the judicial system, we've taken the Lord out of the legislative branch, and we've taken the Lord too often out of the executive branch. That's the president and his cabinet. So it was not an experiment. It was just following the Word of God, and it worked. Following the Word of God always works when we do it as he says. Notice in Deuteronomy 17, you see, our presidents need to be in the Bible. They need to be Christians. They need to be reading the Bible. In Deuteronomy 17, 18, the Bible says, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom." So this is talking about the king, and we're applying this to the president. "That he shall write him a copy of this law in" what? "A book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites." So we're talking about the Bible. The king was supposed to have his own personal copy of the Bible. Verse 19, "And it shall be with him, and he shall" what? "Read therein" what? "All the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and" to what? "To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So that's what our leaders need to be, is reading the Bible. So stability in our nation is tied to this, the Word of God. Notice in Psalm 19, stability in our nation and stability in our homes requires working off from a stable and perfect plan. It can't be, well, let's try this, see if this works. No, we need something sure. Psalm 19:7. "The law of the Lord is" what? "Perfect." Well, that's it right there, isn't it? The law of the Lord is perfect. If we want a stable plan, if we want stability in our homes, in our country, we've got to work off the Bible here. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is" what? "Sure, making wise the simple." This was not the great American experiment. You'd more like call it the great American revival or awakening. It was a group of people who had the chance to leave their oppression and go to a free land and serve God. Verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are" what? "Right." So far we've seen God's word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, rejoicing the heart. "The commandment of the Lord is" what? "Pure, enlightening the eyes." And on it goes. So thus far, the word of God is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure. how many bills are passed now in our legislative branch that are not really pure because all these things are added on. You know, they call it pork. You know, one congressman might want something for his hometown and someone else something else. So it brings instability when we fail to follow God's perfect plan. Notice in James chapter 1. When we get away from God's word, it brings instability. In James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what?
Ask of God,
that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Is that a picture of stability? The waves of the sea? No. It's a picture of instability. If we don't ask in faith, it's like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That's why people get seasick, is that motion. It's not stable. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So may the Lord help us. We need to pray for our nation, for stability, but we need to get back to the Word of God. That's what we need. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 16. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for what? The old paths. Where is what? The good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find what?
Rest
for your souls. But they said, we will what? Not walk therein. They didn't want the old paths, but that's the way for stability. Notice me with me in 1 John 5. So there's only one way to live instability, and that's to live by the word of God. And there's only one way to die instability, and that is to take heed to the word of God. 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. See, the Bible never talks about temporary spiritual life. It's always eternal. There's no such thing as losing salvation. It's always in descriptive terms. It's eternal. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that what?
Believe
on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have what? Eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Only one way to die in stability, and that's to die in Christ, trusting him as our Savior. And I pray that, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. So, Father's Day, we wish all of you fathers a happy Father's Day. And may God help us as fathers to look to our Heavenly Father as the perfect example. Verse 48, Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And what does he do? Well, you look in verse 44 and 43. Let's back up. 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what?
Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be what? the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, our Heavenly Father, from the foundation of the world, gave His Son to die in our place. So, our Heavenly Father, from the foundation of the world, before He even created man, knew that man would rebel against Him. And, you know, in this life, when a man becomes a father, you know, you think, well, you know, I'm going to try by God's grace to train this child to serve the Lord. And what you find before too long is that not only does each child have a different personality, but each child also has a sin nature. And we think, wow, you know, they seem so cute. They seem so lovable, but boy, they can really be naughty. You know what? My child really has a mind of his or her own. You discover that. But you know what? We can't be like the world and be mean. You think about it, our Heavenly Father, how gracious He is to us. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that He even created us knowing that we would go astray, knowing that He would have to give His Son for us to be redeemed, and then knowing that He would have to chasten us, which He does betimes early. He encourages us to chasten our children early. But the great love throughout, I think of the prodigal son in Luke 15, just his boy comes to him wanting the inheritance. Only two sons are mentioned, so that'd be half of his wealth he had to divest and give to that son. And his son went and squandered it all away in partying, riotous living in the world. And yet when his son came back, he ran to meet his son and kissed him, commanded to have a robe put on him, a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. And so we find that that father thought more of the spiritual well-being of his boy than he did of the loss of his money. And as we think of that as earthly fathers, I know earthly fathers put in a lot of hours working, trying to supply for the family. And so we as earthly fathers just have to look at it the same way as our Heavenly Father. He was willing to make great sacrifice for our spiritual well-being. And so I pray that not only as fathers here today, but all of us would look to our Heavenly Father, the one who is so gracious to us. You know, there may be people we walk by that are doing things we don't approve of. Some of them I gave tracts to in town. We're doing things that I didn't approve of and God certainly didn't approve of. But you know what? God wants them to be saved. And I pray that God would give us a heart like our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your great love. We are so unworthy of it. And Lord, as a father, I am so unworthy of the children that You have given to my wife and I. I am so far from that perfection of the Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that You would help my children to look beyond my shortcomings and to see You, the perfect one, the one who is high and lifted up, the one who is pure, is holy, is stable, that is always loving and kind and gracious. And Father, I pray that You would help each of us fathers, help each of the mothers, help each of us gathered here today, Lord, that we would gladly give our lives to serving you. You have sacrificed so much for us. When we were yet in our sin, you died for us. Father, if there should be any here today who are not saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the pure and precious and holy Son of God, God in the flesh, without sin. Born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, and then was buried and rose again in victory the third day, proving that his blood is sufficient to wash away our sins. Lord, may no one leave without repenting and receiving Christ. Help us, Lord, through this week to think, to dwell upon our Heavenly Father, the one who is perfect. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.